Are we the little sister? I guess we're the. Yeah, well, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop
there. Baseball site. The baseball.
Hi, diddly ho, neighborinos. Welcome into the QB List podcast. I'm your host, Shay Felicio, and here with me, as always, is my right-hand man, Mr. Brett Ford. He says fade that man, but you really shouldn't. Brett, what's going on, my friend? How are we doing tonight?
Doing all right, man. Just trying to get through the doldrums of February. It's like the worst time of year for a sports fan, man. You're a month away from baseball season. Football's been over for almost a month. Are you just itching for something? And NBA is just not getting it done for me. So
yeah, I'm right there with it. At least we had the Olympics, though. We had the U.S. both the men and women's hockey teams bringing home the gold, which was awesome.
So the Olympics was fun.
A little easier this offseason. Just the team.
The Olympics is always fun. My kids and I loved watching curling. My 6-year-old twins thought curling was the coolest thing in the world. So we watched a lot of curling, a lot of ski jumping. I don't know what it is about ski jumping, but the kids loved that too. So those were like the two weird niche sports that we watched a lot of.
Yeah, we watched some curling. We watched some of the bobsled as well. And the snowboarding half pipe, we watched a little bit of that too. So, you know, help pass the time, get us to baseball season is coming ever so closer. I mean, we're recording this the last week in February. We're getting close to the WBC, you know, which gets us closer to spring training. And we're technically in spring training, but before we get into it, did you see how much the authentic jerseys for WBC are on Fanatics?
No, I refuse to look at Fanatics. We won't get into it, but I'm not a fan of Fanatics.
Yeah, not many people are. 400 plus. I don't remember exactly, but over $400. So yeah, because the reason I know that is I was showing my son a Derek Jeter one from the original WBC, and he's a Judge fan. I was going to look into getting him one. And yeah, that's not going to happen. But we are not here to talk about baseball. We're not here to talk about the Olympics. We are here to talk about some quarterbacks for 2026. We don't necessarily have an official name for this. QB buys and sells, QB sleeper, breakout, bust. But what we're going to do is Brett and I both came with one guy that we're in on, one guy that we're out on, and one guy that I hate using the term sleeper, but okay, I guess a sleeper for their value, where they're going to go. And just because I'm in on a guy doesn't necessarily mean Brett's going to be out, but we brought the guys. We're going to talk to them. I wish we were talking to them. We're going to talk about them to each other. And then this offseason, we're going to continue to do this series with all the other positions, and we're going to sprinkle in some more live stream mock drafts as well. So, with that being said, Brett, are you ready to roll?
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I've got a nice list of three quarterbacks here that I can't wait to talk about with you.
Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and jump right in, and I will throw it to you first. Brett, who is the quarterback that you are in on for 2026?
So one of the quarterbacks that I'm in on, obviously it's very early in draft season, so I haven't really narrowed my list quite yet. But you know, after going through that mock draft exercise with UJ and with Jorge Martin from Fantasy Life, which was an awesome experience. Yeah, great guy. A lot of fun. One of the draft picks that I couldn't believe how late they went was Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence, especially after what I would consider a breakout second half this year. I mean, after week 12, I think he was quarterback 2 in fantasy points per game throughout the final 6-7 weeks of the regular season. You could definitely see the Liam Cohen effect in full force. It was one of those things where, like, the Jaguars offense just kind of opened up as far as, you know, leaning on the run game with Travis Etienne stepping up. Now, granted, he's leaving as a free agent. He is a free agent, has the opportunity to leave. Obviously, free agent doesn't start until, you know, mid-March. But you know, that offense, I mean, Trevor Lawrence has found something, and I think Liam Cohen has found something in Trevor Lawrence, and he's a guy that I'm super excited for with his major uptick in production this year. I think he can replicate that in 2026 for sure.
Yeah, this is one that we're going to agree on. I'm with you 100%. I mean, 38 touchdowns. They threw downfield a butt ton, ranked second in deep attempts, first in deep yards per game. And it really, this offense seemed to turn a corner when they acquired Jakobi Meyers. And as a BTJ truther, it hurts. But Jakobi Meyers looks like he's the wide receiver one on this offense. And granted, it's the offseason, so we hear lots of things during the offseason. But it sounds like what we thought was going to happen with Travis Hunter, where he's going to be full-time wide receiver, part-time cornerback, is going to be the inverse. But a guy that you and I have talked about a lot too, he's got Parker Washington. I mean, Trevor Lawrence really has an underrated plethora of weapons with Myers, BTJ, Washington, Hunter, Brenton Strange. You know, ETN's probably out the door, but Bashiel Tutin is he's a decent enough pass catcher. And they're, I mean, whether ETN comes back or not, I would imagine that they're going to add some backfield depth, which, like we said, I do believe that ETN is out the door. In my initial rankings, and this was before the playoffs even started, I did some way too early ranks. I had Trevor Lawrence QB7, and honestly, I think I might even bump him up a spot or two. You know, we're going to see how things play out, but yeah, I think he's locked into the top 10, and one of the reasons why I'm going to continue, and I did in that draft as well, in one quarterback leagues, I am waiting on quarterback. There is so much value to be had.
Yeah, he's a name that I have highlighted in that maybe second or third tier of quarterbacks. Like you said, late in drafts that I'm really interested in. One of the things that people might not associate with Trevor Lawrence is the running game. He ranked fifth among NFL quarterbacks in 2025 with 31 designed rushes. That's up from 8. In 2024, where he ranked 25th among NFL quarterbacks. You know, it resulted in 9 rushing touchdowns. Touchdown variance, I'm not going to lean on the touchdowns that much. Like, variance is a thing. But really, in 2025, he looked like, you know, a sugar-free Josh Allen, where he, you know, scores 9 rushing touchdowns. He runs the ball, 31 designed rushing attempts, runs, I believe, over 100 rushing attempts total. I mean, he's fleet of foot. He is a long, wiry athlete, and has shown a propensity. Is that the word I'm looking for? Is that what I'm grasping
at? Is that even a word?
I don't know.
It sounds good.
He's shown a tendency to take off when the pocket breaks down and gain yards on the ground, especially in the red zone, man. Liam Cohen's not afraid to rush it with his quarterback in the red zone. Lawrence had a couple of multiple rushing touchdown games. So he's one of the guys, especially like you said, late in drafts, that I'm really excited to target this draft season.
And I'm glad you brought that up, not only just about the touchdown variance, but people don't take into account his rushing because he's not a Lamar Jackson, a Josh Allen, you know, these guys that are pushing for 1,000 rushing yards. He ran for close to 360 yards. That's an extra 2-3 points per game. Like, that makes a difference. You know, those games where it doesn't matter who they are, every quarterback's going to have down games. They're going to struggle. Those extra 2 points to make up for a pick or a fumble or something like that makes a difference, and, you know, helps not have a quarterback kill you in fantasy when they do have those down games. Speaking of a quarterback killing you in fantasy when they do have down games, Justin Herbert towards the end of the season was like that, but it's funny because I understand how most of the fantasy community are really quick to have a knee-jerk reaction and change their opinion on a guy, but it amazes me how much people have fallen off of Justin Herbert from that blazing start that he had when he had 4/5 of his offensive line. He came out of the gates blazing through 16 touchdowns in the first 8 games, but, you know, the already suspect line. What, Rashawn Slater was hurt preseason and was out for the season. Then they lost Joe Alt in the middle of the season. After they lost Alt, he only had two games with multiple touchdown passes. He still finishes a quarterback one. So this offensive line gets healthy. I'm sure they're going to add some more depth and try to improve the offensive line. And, oh, did I forget to mention Mike McDaniel is their offensive coordinator now. That made Tua Tagovailoa look like an absolute stud. And I can't take credit for this. I can't remember who it was, but I saw it on Twitter earlier today, and it was a phenomenal idea. They need to have a camera follow around Jim Harbaugh and Mike McDaniel at all times. Like, that's a reboot of The Odd Couple right there. Like, that would be phenomenal. Trying on their, you know, dressing each other, putting on just a plain khakis with Mike McDaniel, the high waters with some Jim Harbaugh. Like, it's just phenomenal. But, man, I cannot wait to see what he does with this offense. And something that people forget about, too, because Kamani Vidal played so well, but losing Marion Hampton for as long as he did definitely hurt Justin Herbert's production as well, because they didn't have as much of a threat out of the backfield. And I think that's why Kamani Vidal, you know, granted, Vidal played very well, but they're not putting eight guys in the box for Kamani Vidal. So.
Yeah. You're talking about Herbert with a full strength offensive line. Joe Alt went down early in week 9. From weeks 1 through 8, when Justin Herbert had Alt and, you know, decent health for most of his offensive line, he led the NFL in passing yards, 2,140 yards passing in his first 8 games, 20.9 fantasy points per game. That ranks 6th among NFL quarterbacks weeks 1 through 8. He is absolutely a top 5 ceiling guy if his offensive line can get healthy and stay healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And just looking at his production when he's facing pressure, it's pretty drastic. I mean, any quarterback, their completion percentage is going to go down when they're under duress. But Justin Herbert was legitimately 30 percentage points worse in completion percentage, 76.2 to 46.8. So 29 and some change, but we're going to call it 30. 100 less yards. I mean, it's pretty drastic. And let's not forget that he broke his hand too, and he was still out there playing. So I think that because of the way that his season ended, you're going to be able to get him at a reasonable price. Now, I'm not going to be reaching for him, but if I can get him late in drafts, get him as my QB2 in super flex leagues, I will take that all day long. And we will go ahead and move along to quarterbacks that we are out on, and I'll start us off here. And it's a guy that I was out on last year because of his ADP. And speaking of touchdown regression, it was there. But he started the season pretty hot, and it was a little bit of a mirage because the team started bad. It's just best way to put it. The team started like poo-poo in multiple games, and he had to play hero ball. And I'm talking about Baker Mayfield. The touchdown regression hit, it put him right back in that fringe fantasy starter status. And I'm not trying to hate on Baker, but he was being drafted. I'm going to look up his ADP in here in just a second, but he was being drafted among the top 12. He might not have Mike Evans, might not have Chris Godwin. He could be cut. I mean, he still has plenty of talent with Emeka Egbuka and Jalen McMillan, but I really feel like 2024 was more of the aberration, and we're going to see Baker Mayfield pretty much be what he has when things are firing on all cylinders, that fringe quarterback one that you're fine with, but he's not that top 5 potential that, you know, we saw him have that miraculous 2024 that led to many fantasy managers to fantasy championships.
And that 2024 season where he looked outstanding and led fantasy managers to, you know, playoff appearances, championships in some cases, his offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, the guy we talked about who led Trevor Lawrence to a top 20, 25 finish. Yeah. He's pretty good with quarterbacks from a fantasy standpoint. So, obviously Cohen not there in 2025, won't be there in 2026. It'll be interesting to see how Mayfield handles this opportunity to bounce back. I'm not super high on him. It'll depend on draft costs, frankly, is what exactly. It comes down to.
I'm not saying I won't draft him, but I will not draft him anywhere close to the top 12. Honestly, probably not in the top 15. Brett, where do you think his ADP was? Do you remember what his ADP was position-wise last year?
I want to remember him as being like QB 5 or QB 6. Like, he was pretty high up there.
Close, QB 7. So you were right there. But even QB 7, I mean, he went ahead of Bo Nix, who I wouldn't have drafted, but Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Justin Fields, which that was probably a good move, Justin Herbert, Caleb Williams. And this number 16, Drake May. I feel like, is there?
Yeah, he had a pretty good year, huh?
He had a pretty good year in 2025. And I think you and I have talked about this. I am a Duke Blue Devil fan. I am a Giants fan. I should hate Drake May with every fiber of my being. And I really like the guy as a person. Obviously, he had a great season. How do you feel about Drake May for 2026?
Well, how much do you like Drake May? Because at this point, it's looking like you're going to have to draft him as a top three quarterback in fantasy drafts in 2026. And I'm just not on board at that price tag. He had an outstanding 2025, one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, obviously. 21.1 fantasy points per game across the course of the season, a breakout year for the New England Patriots, leading them to a Super Bowl. Outstanding young player. But man, QB2, QB3, leave me out of that. I'm not paying that ticket price for Drake May. Maybe the postseason slump he had was just, you know, a lingering shoulder injury, or maybe it was an indication that, you know, turnover regression is coming. He tied Peyton Manning in 2006 and Carson Palmer in 2015 for the most turnovers by a quarterback in a single postseason with 8, 4 interceptions and 4 lost fumbles. Now, granted, he played, I'll say 3, could be possibly 4 of the best defenses in the NFL throughout his postseason campaign. So it was tough sledding, but he still gave the ball away 8 times. He had 31 passing touchdowns on less than 500 attempts. Some people call that efficiency, and some people call that a statistical outlier that is due for touchdown regression. And the last thing, I know we talked about rushing upside with quarterbacks. Drake May ran a lot. Yes. He had the third most rushing attempts by a quarterback in the NFL. But he had the 11th most designed QB runs. 83 of his rushing attempts were scrambles. That was the highest in the NFL because the New England Patriots could not protect him, especially that leaky left side. I don't want to pile on Will Campbell. He's already had a terrible offseason, but they've got to shore things up in front of him. And if they do, that rushing upside, he's not going to be scrambling if he doesn't have to. So that rushing upside might not be sustainable. So that's one of the reasons that I'm not in, especially at the draft price.
Now, I'm really glad you brought up the point of design run versus scrambles, because that's a perfect example of why you can't just look at the stats. You can't just look at the box scores. You have to look at the context and see how these players got these stats. And I'm a little torn on Drake May. One, I admitted this to you before we started. My pre-playoff, way too early top 200, I had Drake May as my QB2, and I think I was just drinking a little too much of the Kool-Aid. Now, I do still like Drake May. I think he belongs in that second tier, maybe third tier, back end of the second tier, I would say, of quarterbacks for fantasy purposes. Because he ranked first in completion percentage, yards per attempt, passer rating, and threw the third most touchdown passes. So I know you said that record that he was tied with the third most, third most turnovers in the offseason or postseason?
The most in a postseason.
Okay. Well, that's right. He was tied with the names are pretty good to be tied with, guys that are going to sling the ball, Carson Palmer and Peyton Manning. So,
I mean, listen, if you're in
not a good stat
long you, enough to set that record, you're doing things right. Like it's kind of a double-edged sword.
No, but I think you make a really great point about, okay, there's a weakness on the offensive line. Well, that points when they fix that weakness, his rushing stats are going to go down. Another thing too, he really doesn't have any weapons. Stephon Diggs at this point in his career is not Stephon Diggs from 2-3 years ago. So, I mean, he's got more of a conglomerate of solid wide receivers. Like Kendrick Bourne he's fine. I mean, he's going to have his games. It really reminds me a lot of, and I know you'll remember this, the season after Lamar Jackson.
I'm crossing Kyle Williams off my deep sleepers list. You said he doesn't have enough weapons. Hold on. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
The year after Lamar Jackson's first MVP season, he was being drafted in the second. He was being drafted in the first round in some leagues. And the thing is, you and I have talked about this. I've got Lamar Jackson signed jersey over there. I love Lamar Jackson. He's honestly, before Cam Scataboo and Jackson Dart came to town, he is my favorite NFL player, Lamar Jackson, for many reasons. But one is I was all in on him in 2019. I had him everywhere, and it paid off big time. I didn't have him anywhere in 2020 as much as I wanted to because the cost was way too high. You were buying all the risk. And I feel like that's going to be the trap that people fall with Drake May. Could he have another season like he did this year? Absolutely. He's shown us that he can do it. But drafting him as QB2, drafting him in the early rounds, you're buying all that risk, and he has to perform like that again just to return value. And that's not how you win in fantasy football.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And this is not to say I would not draft. Like, he's not on my do not draft list by any means. He's just on my do not draft in the fourth, fifth round.
Right, exactly. That's the thing. When you say you're out on a guy, people are like, oh, well, this guy, you know, everything in context. And there is nobody that is undraftable there. Even LaVisca Chenault is draftable a certain point in time, okay? We'll move on from there. Our sleepers. I had to bring up LaVisca Chenault. I'm sorry. I got a new LaVisca Chenault card today in the mail. I'm really excited about it. I'm collecting LaVisca Chenault cards for the sleeper, for the, I don't know what you want to call it, the guy that you can probably get at the end of drafts that could take that Sam Darnold type of step.
Yeah, your waiver savior.
There you go, your waiver savior. I like that. Let's go with that. Let's go your waiver savior, sleeper quarterback for 2026, February 25th. Who is that guy for you right now?
So looking around the league, and there's a couple of places that are uncertain about their quarterback. You know, guys that are on the free agency market that might pop off next year. One of the ones that I have circled is Malik Willis. I think he's going to find a nice landing spot, get a nice paycheck, and has the dual threat capability to perform well for fantasy. But due to just kind of the uncertain quarterback landscape surrounding him, I could not put him as my waiver savior. Just couldn't do it. So I picked a guy who has settled in really nicely in his current situation down in New Orleans, and that's Tyler Shuck. Coming into his second year, he played 11 games in a quietly solid rookie season. After the Saints bye week 11, Shuck posted the final 7 weeks of the season as QB7, 18.5 fantasy points per game. And that includes a week 12 stinker against Atlanta. He's got the rushing upside that you look for. He had 175 yards and 3 touchdowns across those 7 weeks. And he's got a head coach that is offensive minded. They were one of the fastest offenses by plays per game in the NFL last season. And the offense around him really can't get much worse. The offensive
That's
line.
A dangerous game, friendo.
Listen, man, the offensive line graded out by PFF at 25th in the NFL. And there was really nobody remarkable outside of Chris Olave in that offense. And yet Shuck still ranked as QB7 across those last 7 weeks. I would love to see the Saints give him some weapons and let him throw to somebody that we actually recognize their name other than Olave and Juwan Johnson. Because I don't know about you, but you know, guys with the first name of Kevin and the last name of, I don't even know, were catching passes from Tyler Shuck late in the season. And I think the Saints can do better. And I think Shuck will put up numbers with guys who can catch the ball.
I had way too many shares of Kevin. I don't even know, unfortunately, but I'm kind of against you on this one. I think I wouldn't mind having him as a QB2 and super flex, but one QB leagues, I'm probably going to avoid him. It depends. Obviously, things change, you know, if they do wind up adding some weapons, but Shuck was more found money that he was fine, but all that was talked about with his big arm his ability to throw downfield, and he had the third worst deep throw completion percentage at 28.6%, a minimum of 25 attempts. I mean, he was serviceable, but he only threw multiple touchdown passes in 3 of his 10 starts, 10-6 touchdown to interception ratio, and he threw for fewer than 250 yards in half of his starts. So I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I mean, I will say he's got the coach that if you want somebody to be able to, outside of, I know Kellen Moore has had his time in the limelight and disappointed as the QB guru, but I think look what he did with the Kevin, I don't know what their name is, offense, and the Saints offense was respectable at times from a points perspective relative to what they had on the field. So I don't know. I'm still, the jury's still out right now. I would be out on Shuck, but there's still plenty of time in the offseason for things to change.
I contend, and I have no measurable statistical way to kind of measure this.
You feel it in your plums? Is that what I'm hearing?
Tyler Shuck is a better NFL quarterback, a better NFL quarterback than Brock Purdy. I said it, and ooh, I will back that. Brock Purdy is surrounded by talent. Tyler Shuck is in a New Orleans system that is almost devoid of it. And Shuck, did he outperform Purdy across the last 7 weeks? I don't know. I need to check that. But I firmly believe that Tyler Shuck is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy. And I am okay being on record at this point in the season when nobody can really prove me wrong with actual.
That's the best part about the offseason. You say whatever you want, and by the time the season rolls around, people don't remember. But no, that's a spicy take, man. I don't know where I fall on that line, but are you?
That's not to say that I would draft Tyler Shuck over Brock Purdy. Obviously, Purdy in San Francisco's offense is an outstanding fantasy asset. Don't get me wrong. But I truly believe that if Shuck were in San Francisco in that offense, he could be a top 8 quarterback in the NFL. I think he has some outstanding skills and could be a guy that surprises people in year 2.
No, I think that's a spicy take. And definitely when you're talking about a system, I think we've seen with the resurrections of Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold after leaving an awful system in Carolina that how much of an impact that really has. And that leads me to my guy that I'm in on for next season, who was in an abysmal situation of his own, but he started to show signs of life down the stretch. The number one overall pick, Cam Ward. I wasn't in on him last year by any means, and I'm still not necessarily like super in on him, but I'm not ready to just give up on him like everybody else is. And I mean, he didn't throw multiple touchdowns until week 13, but he threw multiple touchdowns in 4 of his final 5 starts. Excuse me. He threw multiple touchdowns in his final 4 starts, and he started to make those flash plays, the big throws downfield that we saw in college. The Titans cleaned house. They brought in who I know he's not my head coach anymore, but I still, from an offensive mind perspective, I think Brian Daboll was the perfect hire. I think you saw what he did with Jackson Dart. Heck, you saw what he was able to do with Daniel Jones when there was some success in New York. The Titans have the most salary cap available to be able to address the offense address all of their issues, but obviously I don't think they're going to be able to land George Pickens, but there's decent wide receivers available. Alec Pierce, Romeo Doubs, Juwan Jennings, Deebo Samuel, Wandale Robinson. Could Wandale Robinson follow Brian Daboll to Tennessee? I think we talked about that on the draft episode a couple weeks ago.
And don't sleep on DK and Io Manor either. I think Kamari DK could be an excellent NFL wide receiver. He did some things last year that I took notice of, really opened my eyes. I think he's the best wide receiver on that roster.
I thought you were talking to Metcalf for a second. I'm like, was there a trade that I missed or something like that?
No, I'm sorry. Kamari DK. Yeah. The Titans rookie from last year was excellent. Now I take that with a grain of salt. It wasn't excellent. He did some things that I took notice of and made me excited for coming into 2026.
He was the $10 fine in the value box is what he was.
You talk about Cam Ward and kind of the development we saw late in the season. From week 12 on in the regular season, Ward only threw one interception. So he was taking care of the ball. He was doing a better job of making better decisions. Now, granted, the accuracy wasn't there. Like, he was still throwing at a 62% clip. Like, it wasn't great, but it was encouraging to at least see him not giving the ball away, not making bad decisions, throwing into, you know, those triple coverages and you know, creating turnovers. So one encouraging sign we can take from that is that, you know, he developed over the course of the year and showed signs of improvement, certainly.
That alone is huge. It went the right direction, you know, and like we talked about when we were, you know, with the Drake Mays and stuff, how we're not completely out on these guys. I'm not saying that I'm all in on Cam Ward, that I want him everywhere. He's somebody that, especially in one quarterback leagues, I like to draft one high upside guy and one solid floor guy. So like your Jared Goffs, I would pair with a Cam Ward. Or let's see, I'm rolling through some names. Really not a whole lot of solid floor guys right now, but like this offseason, it would have been Matthew Stafford and Cam Ward. So Brock Purdy, like those type of guys that, although Purdy showed some flashes of some upside, but that's here nor there. But yeah, he's that guy that I would like to take a shot, you know, throw an offer out there in dynasty leagues. If, you know, the Cam Ward fantasy manager might be a little disheartened, you can get him for cheap. And, you know, I wouldn't pay a premium, but he's somebody that I would be willing to take the shot based on the price tag. Is there any other quarterbacks that we didn't talk about that you wanted to address here shortly, or anybody you want to sprinkle in there? We cover pretty much everybody.
I am the one situation that is still up in the air as far as starting quarterback going into 2026 that I would be interested in pretty much regardless of who it is the Minnesota Vikings starting quarterback. I'm really excited for whoever gets that job. I've heard rumors of Kirk Cousins going back to Minnesota. I've heard rumors of Minnesota going out and making a trade for somebody like Mac Jones. Personally, I would love to see Mac Jones get a shot at another starting job. What he did with San Francisco across the 3-4 weeks that he filled in for Purdy while he was down was pretty impressive and, in my opinion, earned him a chance to start somewhere else. The one guy that I would not – what's that? Sorry.
I was going to say, it's funny you say that because I was – the one other guy I was going to bring up was Mac Jones, and if he is able to get a shot at a starting job, even, you know, it could be one of those situations like Daniel Jones where we didn't know Daniel Jones was even starting until what, halfway through the preseason. So if you wait on quarterback, you know, granted, well, this is months in advance, but you know, these are the things that you forget going into the next season. If you got some room and Mac Jones is, you know, the backup or, you know, fighting for a spot, throw him on your bench. No, what's it hurt? Sam Darnold was that way last year.
Honestly, this is going to be an unpopular take, but even if the Vikings, like, even if their starting quarterback week one is somebody like Geno Smith, I know, He was so bad in Las Vegas.
And I like Geno Smith. He's a stand-up guy, but
the more news that the more stuff that comes out of Las Vegas under Pete Carroll, it just looks like it was an absolute dumpster fire there. And obviously the offense didn't operate well because it was a dumpster fire. I think Geno Smith is not as bad a quarterback as we saw in Las Vegas. And I think putting him under Kevin O'Connell and giving him a functional coaching staff and offensive line and weapons. Oh my gosh, the weapons in Minnesota, because I don't want JJ McCarthy on my fantasy football team, but almost any starting caliber NFL quarterback under center in Minnesota is going to pique my interest.
No, I love that take. And I was on the Trade at X podcast a couple weeks ago, and my guy Frank talked about them possibly taking a shot on Tua Tagovailoa in Minnesota. I like that. I like that. Or like you said, honestly, anybody that they take a shot on, I would be, if they make a run at Malik Willis, that would be interesting.
I am immediately interested in Vikings starting quarterback week one of the NFL. I'm immediately interested, even if it is JJ McCarthy. Love it.
I don't want to be, but I am.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that is going to be it for the QB. We're in and we're kind of out. Guys we like, guys we don't like, guys we're kind of in on. And Brett, I just randomly decided without talking to you about this previously that I think we're going to start ending these shows with one of us coming up with a random question for the other one. Now, my random question for you is mac and cheese a Thanksgiving food?
Is mac and cheese a Thanksgiving food? Thanksgiving is a time to surround yourself with family and things that make you feel good. And if mac and cheese is a comfort food for you, mac and cheese is a Thanksgiving food, 100%. And if it's one of those things where it's just a food, okay, don't serve it at Thanksgiving. It doesn't have to be a Thanksgiving food. But if it is a comfort food, Thanksgiving is about comfort food. And mac and cheese certainly falls under that umbrella.
God bless America. That was the best answer I think I've ever heard to that question. So, yeah, just throw that out there. Maybe we'll do it again. Maybe we won't. But we are going to be coming to you most of the offseason weekly around Wednesday, Thursday. We don't really have a set schedule right now because Britt and I both have full-time jobs. We've got multiple children, things going on. So, but most weeks we're going to come Wednesday or Thursday. We're going to be doing some more of these. We're going to be doing some more live drafts, live mock drafts, streaming with guests. So make sure you are tuned in to the QB List YouTube, QB List podcast, anywhere you listen. Check out QB List. We're going to have articles coming out. Brett has one that is going to update soon. We haven't really figured out when, but about all the free agency action. Actually, next Monday or Tuesday, I'm going to have my first edition after the combine of my 2026 rookie ranking. So that's something I'm working on right now, and I'll have my update to my top 200. Brett, tell us what else you're working on right now.
Absolutely. People looking for me can find me on social media at FadeThatMan. You can find my work on QBList.com, on PitcherList.com. Listen to me and Scott Chu talk about hitters on the Hacks and Jacks podcast on the PitcherList podcast network. Scott does a great job of talking about hitters, analyzing hitters, and I'm just along for the ride. I try to just lead him down the path and hope that he carries me and ride his coattails. So he's awesome to work with. And of course, you can find me here recording with Jay, who does the same thing.
There we go. I love to hear it. And speaking of pitcher list, Nick Pollock yesterday just dropped his top 400 starting pitchers of 2026. Brett, I don't know if you saw my tweet, but I thought it was pretty good. It was said it's like Christmas Day, opening day, and a 2-for-1 bagel bite special, all wrapped in one delicious document of dominance. And I feel like that really describes exactly what that is. But that being said, if you play fantasy baseball, that is an absolute must read, along with all the other work over at Pitcher List, our sister site. Is it our big sister site? Are we the little sister? I guess we're the. Yeah, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop
there. The baseball site. The baseball side of the hallway at the office. You know what? Right?
Even though Nick likes to hate on fantasy football, that's not us. We're all about love over here. We love fantasy baseball just as much. Well, not just as much, but we love fantasy baseball and we love fantasy football.
That's right.
That being said, I'm Jay Felicio for Brett Ford. And remember, choose love, not hate. And where's the end button?